prior to Pesach, as prior to all the Chagim, the Rav used to make it very, very clear that we have to not only prepare ourselves physically in terms of shopping and for Pesach cleaning and so on, but we also have to prepare ourselves spiritually. Misha Tarach B'Erev Shabbos Yochal B'Shabbos, whoever prepared himself Erev Shabbos will eat on Shabbos, and every single holiday has its lead up. One of the things that is necessary for Pesach was simply studying the Haggadah. And I remember for many years, the few weeks before between Purim and Pesach, the Rav would devote his Motzei Shabbos Shiurim in Boston, for those of us who were privileged to be there, to a careful and very, 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 very sensitive reading of the Haggadah. This was part of the Rav's general idea that the function of the Seder is twofold, or at least twofold. Part of it is simply telling the story of the going from Egypt. On the other hand, it's also Shavuot V'Hodah. It's also the function of the Haggadah is not simply to tell the story in such a way as to generate praise and thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the reason why, in fact, in one of the shurim that the Rav gave in Boston, he mentioned the fact that of all of the various basic texts that could have been used as for Yitzibur's Hizmet Rav, telling the story of the going out of Egypt, Dafka the Mishnah chose the Parsha of Arami Ovid Avi, the Parsha that the description of Jewish history, which is recited by anyone who brings first fruits to the temple, which, yes, tells the story of the Jewish people and its arrival in the land, but in the context simply of Shevach V'Hodah, of giving praise. That's the reason, by the way, that Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned. He's mentioned once, sort of left-handedly in the Haggadah, because the function of the Haggadah is to praise God. It's not to tell a historical story, and that's also the reason why we don't just sit down and read the first few parshias, the first few parts of Sefer Shmos on at the Seder, because it's not just telling a story. It's not a detached recitation of some sort of past event, but rather the function, the operative principle in the Haggadah is b'chol dor v'dar chayav adam lirot et atzmo, or as the Rambam has, or the Sfardi Nusach has, laharot, a person has to show himself, see himself as if, or demonstrate, laharos, so in fact he went out of Egypt. That requires total self-identification with the act of going out of Egypt and realizing that we were there as an old TV show used to require, which is Dorshin Me Arami Avid Avi. You don't just read Arami Avid Avi and you don't just mumble through the Medrash. You're supposed to explore the Parsha, to expose its nuances, to delve into its deeper levels, to take the time on the way to the Kneidlach to try to tease out the different levels of meaning, and to get a story and an experiential moment from the hints that are strewn throughout the Haggadah. This has to be done, by the way, each according to his own ability. The Fiyadato shall ben aviv melamdos is the Mishnah. You have to talk to every single person at the Seder table according to their ability to understand. Having some kind of highfalutin lumdish discussion when a lot of people are going to get lost not only constitutes a missed opportunity, a mistake, but it's a missed opportunity. But it's also you're actually preventing the other people at the Seder from participating, and that is fundamentally wrong. You have to learn. What person has to learn to be able to gauge and to modulate the way that they tell the story and the mode of discussion, so that everybody feels included and that everybody feels that they get something from the experience. I learned this from the Rav myself, because the Rav's capacity to be able to teach any single age, any single person, whether they were children or whether they were adults, whether they had a tremendous background or no background whatsoever, was really remarkable. And it's a model to try to imitate on all our parts. We have a tendency to think that highfalutin discussion is in fact admirable, and it's really not true. Popularization doesn't require vulgarization. But nevertheless, a person has to be able to communicate Torah in ways which anybody and everybody can appreciate and understand, each in their own terms. In any event, what I'd like to do right now, after that long introduction, is simply to share with you one insight which gives you an idea of the kind of approach to the Haggadah that the Rav used to have, and as a challenge, as a model to for further discussion on the part of every single person who will read the Haggadah in 2 weeks. Today's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And also to share it because I haven't seen it quoted anywhere, and it's uniquely or typically typical of the Rav's approach to passage to both to Chumash and to passages from the Haggadah. One of the in the passage of Arami Avdavi of a wandering Aramean was my father. The Parsha of Arami Avodovi begins as follows. This is Devarim, chapter 26, verse 5. Vanisa v'amarta, the person brings his first fruits. He brings his bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash, and he puts the priest comes and takes the basket with his bikurim for the first fruits and puts it in front of the altar. And then the person who brings the first fruits says as follows: Vanisa v'amarta l'fnei Hashem Elokecha. The Torah commands that you should make the following declaration in front of God. Arami Ovid Avi, a wandering Aramean was my father, or an Aramean tried to destroy my father, depending how you want to read it. Vayered Mitzrayma, and he went down to Egypt. Vayagar Sham Bimsei Ma'at, and he went down and he dwelt, sojourned there, it's few in numbers. Vayisham Legoy Gadol Tzolvarav, and there he became a great and powerful nation. Vayered Mitzrayma, okay, went down to Egypt. Anos Al Pi Adibur, he was compelled by God's decree. The Rav, I never forget it, just stood up and said, what is the Haggadah talking about? Why did Jacob go to Egypt? What happened? He had heard that Joseph was alive. If you take a look at the end of chapter 45 in Parshas in Sefer Bereishis, in the middle of Parshas Vayigash, the sons come and they tell Jacob that Joseph's still alive. And Vayegidu lo le'mor od Yosef chai, and they told him, saying, Joseph's still alive. V'chihu moshel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, and he is still, and he ruled all of Egypt. Vayafog libo, and he fainted. He mamish got faint. Ki lo hemin lem, he couldn't believe it. Vayidabro elav et kol divrei Yosef asher diber lehem. So they told him everything Joseph had told him to say. Vayaret ha'agalot asher shalach Moshe Yosef laseit oto, and he saw all of the wagons that Joseph had sent to bring him. Vatechi Yaakov ruach Yaakov avihem, and Jacob's spirit was revived. According to Chazal, he had ruach hakodesh, he had the Holy Spirit for the first time in 20 years, because the prophetic capacity can't go together with mourning, and Jacob was in such a depression over the death of Joseph that he couldn't. Death of Joseph, that he couldn't handle the, he was not capable of communicating with God. By Yomer Yisrael, and his personality changes from being Jacob becomes Israel, the prince of Israel, the prince, the grandeur, the one who strove with God and man. His entire persona changed. Rav, okay, enough. Od Yosef ben Ichai, my son Joseph is yet alive. El Chaver Eno B'Terem Mamut, let me go see him before I die. So, he didn't have to be compelled by anybody. What kind of compulsion was there? He wanted to see his beloved son before he died. So, the whole Haggadah makes no sense. Until we read the continuation in Chumash. Vayisai Yisrael v'chol esher lo vayavo be'er ha'shava. So Jason, Israel, and all of his all who were with him set out. Vayavo mid Be'er Sheva. He came to Be'er Sheva, which is the southern border of Eretz Yisrael. Vayizbach zvachim l'Elokei Aviv Yitzchak, and he offered up offerings to the God of his father Isaac. Why Isaac? We'll leave that question for a moment. Vayamar l'Kim liYisrael b'Marot Halayla, and God came to Israel in a vision of the night. Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, and he said, Jacob, Jacob, and Vayomer Hineni, and he said, here I am. Vayomer, and God said to him, Anochi Akel Elokei Avicha, I am the God of your father. Al tira mirda Mitzrayim, ki legoy gadol asimcha sham. Don't be afraid to go to Egypt, because I will make you a great nation there. Anochi eredim chamitzrayma. I will go down to with you to Egypt. Vanochi al chagamalo, and I will come up again with you. I will come back up to the land of Israel with you. V'Yosef yashis yado alinecha. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. In other words, Joseph will close your eyes. So the question has to be asked then, okay, what was Jacob afraid of? Why was he afraid of going to Egypt? What happened? So, if you recall, why did he specifically offer up an offering to his father Isaac and not to Abraham and Isaac? Because, as you recall, Isaac wanted to go to Egypt, and God said, "No, you don't go to Egypt. You stay here." Even though it was a famine, he wanted to do exactly what Abraham did, and God said, "No, in this case, you don't go." How come? How come? So the Rav at that point noted, how much Torah? I mean, what was the nature of the Jewish revelation? What was the nature of the Jewish religion? It's anachronistic to talk like that. What was the nature of the religion of Abraham in the days of Abraham, in the days of Isaac, in the days of Jacob? So we know that that there was a mitzvah of milah, there's a mitzvah of circumcision, and according to Chazal, followed by the Rambam, there was tefillah. Shachris Minch and Ma'ariv. Okay. There was a certain type of charity to be given. Fine. But in terms of Torah, what did they know? What did they have? They had the belief in the one God. That was their job, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was to spread the belief in the one God. And they had one revelation. They had one promise. They had one nevuah. And that was the prophecy that was given by God to Abraham at Brit Ben Absarim, at the covenant of the so-called covenant of the pieces. Recall what the content of that. Keep in mind what content of that nevuah was. The content in that nevuah was, and this is in, this is in Parshas Lech Lecha already in chapter 15, verse 13. Vayomer Lavram, and God says to Abraham, Yadoa Teda, you should know very well, Ki ger yezaracha beretz lo lahem. Your children will be, or your descendants will be strangers in a land which does not belong to them. Vavadum, and they will be enslaved to them, they will serve them. Viinu otam, and they will afflict them, and they will persecute them, and they will torture them 400 shana, 400 years. Vigam et agoya sher yavodu dan enochi, and I will also judge the people who will serve, v'achrechein tavid yetsu b'chibrush gadol, and after they will go out with great wealth. V'ata tavo l'avotecha b'shalom tikaver b'seva tova, and you will die in peace, and you will be buried after an old age. V'dor v'i yeshuvu hena, and four generations from now, your descendants will come back. Kilo shalem avon ha'amori ad hena, because at this point it's too early. The Canaanites have not overstayed their welcome. At this point, the degree of their sin has not been completed. That's all. That's the only. In other words, apparently they knew very well that Egypt was going to be the place where the slavery, the enslavement, and the suffering and the exodus was going to happen. So when Isaac wanted to go to Egypt, basically God was saying to them, it's not time yet. You stay here. And that's exactly the reason why Jacob stopped at Beersheba. He reached the southern border of Eretz Israel, and he offered up a sacrifice, davka, to the God who had appeared to his father Isaac, because he wasn't sure if now was the time to cross the border, if now was the time to go to Egypt. But think about that. What does that mean? What that means, said the Rav, is that imagine the inner conflict that was going on within Yaakov, within our father Jacob. On the one hand, he was desperate to see his beloved son. He hadn't seen him in 20 years. He was dying to see him. He literally wanted to go before he died. And then he stopped. And he said, you know, there's more to this than just me. I'm also a patriarch. I'm also the father of a nation. And I have a promise from God that there's going to be a nation born. and there's going to be and it's going to lead to all kinds of suffering, even though at the end, it's going to lead to my descendants will come out of Egypt and they'll have wealth and they'll come and they'll take back the land of Israel, which was promised by God to my grandfather Avraham, to Abraham, to my father Isaac, and to me. Nevertheless, maybe it's not time, and maybe I don't want to take responsibility. Maybe I don't want to undertake this step over the border and to start this. So the patriarch Israel and the father who was hesitant and felt the responsibility towards his nation, his descendants, and his destiny was in profound and existential conflict with Jacob, the father who was desperate to see his beloved son. The truth of the matter is, as I look at it now, that conflict comes into tremendous focus in the second pasuk. Vayomer Elokim liYisrael, God appeared to Israel b'marot halayla. Israel, the patriarch, Israel, the father of the nation, b'marot halayla, in a vision of the night, which symbolizes Golos. Vayomer, but he didn't address Israel. He said Yaakov, Yaakov, Jacob, Jacob, because it was Jacob who was in conflict. Jacob wanted to go, and Israel was stopping him. Vayomer Hineni, and he says, here I am. Then God said, Anochi Elokei Avichah, Elokei Avicha, I am the God of your father, the one who stopped him from going to Egypt. Al tira merda mitzrayma, don't be afraid to go down to Egypt. The time has come, ki legoi gadol lasimcha sham, because it is now the time has come for you to go to Egypt, and in fulfillment of the prophecy that I gave to your grandfather, to Abraham, I will make you a great nation there. Anochi eredim chamitzrayma, I will accompany you down to Egypt. Vanochi alcha gamalo, and I will come back up with you, and you will see your beloved son. V'yosef yeshis yado alinecha, Joseph will put his hand on your eyes and close your eyes for all eternity. There is no contradiction. But think of that moment. And when Chazal say, Vayered mitzrayma anus al pi hadibur, compelled by God's decree, they seem to be implying that even though God gave Jacob the license and gave him permission to go to be with his beloved son and to have all of his family together for the first time in 20 years, nevertheless, he didn't really overcome his hesitation and his concern for the suffering that his grandchildren and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-grandchildren would go through in Egypt. He was anus al pi hadibur. At the end of the day, sometimes people are in a position where they have to choose between the greater good, to sacrifice themselves, to sacrifice their personal life, to sacrifice. Moses is an example of a person who was forced to sacrifice his entire family life for the greater good. And he actually was willing, anus al pi hadibur, he was willing to stay in Beersheba in order to, if the time had not come yet, for the great drama of Jewish history to begin. But that's exactly what happened. The time had come. The great drama of Jewish history had begun. And all of the emotionality and the depth of the personality and the sensitivity of Yaakov Avinu, who was struggling between being Yaakov and Yisrael, between Jacob the father and Israel the patriarch, found expression in these three words, Anus al pi hadibur, pushing forward the drama of Jewish history on the way to first to shiabud, first to servitude, and then to geula, and then finally to redemption.